The Book of Genesis, Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Together these made up one day. And God said, "Let there be space between the waters to separate water from water." And so it was. God made this space to separate the waters above from the waters below. And God called the space sky. This happened on the second day. And God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered into one place so dry ground may appear." And so it was. God named the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land burst forth with every sort of grass and seed-bearing plant. And let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And so it was. The land was filled with seed-bearing plants and trees, and their seeds produced plants and trees of like kind. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the third day. And God said, "Let bright lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. They will be signs to mark off the seasons, the days, and the years. Let their light shine down upon the earth." And so it was. For God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, to shine down upon the earth. The greater one, the sun, presides during the day. The lesser one, the moon, presides through the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the heavens to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every sort of fish and every kind of bird. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Let the fish multiply and fill the oceans. Let the birds increase and fill the earth." This all happened on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of animal, livestock, small animals, and wildlife." And so it was. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to reproduce more of its own kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the livestock, wild animals, and small animals." So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and told them, "Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and birds and all the animals." And God said, "Look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and birds for their food." And so it was. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was excellent in every way. This all happened on the sixth day.
And God saw that it was very good. And this all happened on the sixth day. A reminder again of God's creation. God created. And then the item that we want to talk about this morning, or look at a little bit, I think I was telling Jordan earlier, we could probably do four or five messages on this very title: the handprint of God or his image. What does it mean to display? What does it mean to have? What does it mean to be the image of God? Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm just going to ask you as a congregation to stand, and I'm going to put a few verses on the overhead, and I'll read those, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll carry on in the message. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." He gave names to all the livestock and all the birds of the sky and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." Excuse me. "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. And we want to thank you for the privilege that we have, as Kevin said, to come confidently into the throne room of your grace. And this morning we ask, Father, that you would give us grace to hear your word, to understand that you loved us even before the foundation of the world. And you want us to understand what it is to have, to be the image of the living God. I pray, Father, that you would guide our hearts this morning, that you, Holy Spirit, will indwell them, empower us, and empower me to bring the message that you have laid on our hearts or to share this morning. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. And as we move forward, the handprint of God, we see here, he's talking about our image. He says, make man, make people, make human beings in our image. And what is the image of God in man? Well, the traditional view is that God's image is a certain moral, ethical, and intellectual abilities. But a more recent view, based on some Hebrew grammar, interprets the phrase as meaning, let us make man as our image. Let us make man as our image. And in ancient times, an emperor might command statues to be built. And if you have traveled into other countries, you will see that this is the case. And you'll see a big statue, probably, 25, 30, maybe 50 feet high, of a man. And probably was the emperor, or was the leader, or was the president of that particular country for a while. But that's what he would do. He would place statues in remote places of the empire. And these would be symbols to declare that these areas were under his power and his reign. So God placed humankind as living symbols of himself on earth to represent his reign. God placed humankind as living symbols of himself on earth to represent his reign. So this interpretation fits quite well too with the verse that follows, that we should look after the earth, the fish, and govern them and reign over them and reign over creation. God has placed us here for that purpose. But we are more than just have a job to do. We are made in his image. Let us make man as our image. So he doesn't put up statues. And it makes sense to me now too why in Exodus that there wasn't to be any graven image. But he puts you and I on the face of this earth to display his reign. When I started looking at this, I realized our early Anabaptists must have had some grasp of this understanding of what it meant to display, to be the image of the living God. And we'll touch a little bit more maybe on that a little later. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, let us make. Let us make is very emphatic. It shows the majesty of the speaker. Furthermore, it tells us that this is plural. God is saying, let us. Now, who was he talking about? Was he talking about him and the angels? No, he was not. He said, let us make man. Let us make people. Let us make human beings in whatever form we want to put that. What he was doing was he was saying it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, let us. Three persons in one God. That's where we get our Trinity, and we will talk about that sometime in the future yet. And let us make is emphatic here. Remember what Jesus said when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Genesis 11 says, this is at the Tower of Babel, but it reads like this, come, let us go down and confuse the people. Let us go down and confuse the people. God is speaking. The triune God is speaking. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. If you notice, the aspect of creation hits us three times from this one verse. God created humans. God created them. Male and female, he created them. Then let's just go to look at verse 26 and 27. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In our image, in his own image, in the image of God. The image of God is spoken three times in two verses. He created three times in one verse. I really don't think God wanted us to miss this. God wanted us to know that he is the creator God. He is the one who is creating. He is the one who has created. He is the one who is continuing to create. And we're all created in his image. And his image is absolutely precious to him. So much so that in Genesis 9:6 he said, if anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in his own image. In his own image. James 3:8-10 confirms this again. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our God and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. We are created to be like God. Now, what does that mean? Some groups say we're created to be little gods. We're created to be gods. That's false. That's heresy. God's word does never tell us that. But God said we are created like him. So why? Why? What is this? See, some say that we can be gods and we can work our way to godhood through a set of works, through certain rituals or hierarchy. But we must remember that we are created finite, which means we are limited. God is infinite, which means he is limitless or unlimited in anything he can do. So we are created like God, to be like God, to display his character, his attributes, and to reign in his stead. He is a just God. He is merciful. He is a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of patience. Yes, we are God's representative. We are created in his image means we were created to represent God on earth. We were created to rule on this earth. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign. They will reign over all of creation. So how do we represent God on this earth? Do we steward God's resources as we ought to? Do we look after all that God has created? Do we act with diligence in how we reign as God's representative? We are created relational. That's how God designed us. He designed us to be relational. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Why did God design us to be relational? First of all, God designed us to be relational because He is a relational God. He is in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other. I don't fully understand that. I don't even partly understand that. But I'm so thankful that it continues to be reiterated in God's Word, and then I can take that and use that and say, this is who God is. God is a triune God. And then God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So what did He do? Well, God designed and created a woman, a companion, a helpmeet, a helper, an encourager. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from that rib, and He brought her to the man. So how did He do this creating? The Word of God tells us that He took a rib out and He formed the woman from that rib. He created a woman from that rib. And I can remember probably close to 40 years ago in a doctor's office in Fort Vermilion, I saw a poem. And I don't remember the whole thing, but what I do remember is this, that Eve was taken from Adam's side, not from his head to be above him, not from his feet to be trampled on or downtrodden, but from his side to be loved and cared for. We are designed to be relational. We are designed to reflect God's majesty. We are His images. We are created to reflect God's true character. Showing God's majesty by the way we rule over creation is another reason that we were designed that way. And we are His images. We are His images. We are made in His likeness. God values people very much. He values you and I. You are precious. You are unique. You are a one of a kind. And God loves you immensely. We were designed to reflect God in every aspect. We were designed to image God before the world.